there, and welcome to the Knights of Nerditude podcast, a podcast for all things nerd. If you recognize that theme in any way, you know this is going to be a heart-pounding episode where we're reviewing a classic action sci-fi movie, Total Recall. I'm your host today, Sean. I'm here on the Skype hotline with...
Get your ass to Mars, Sam.
Open your mind, John.
I was thinking about using that one. Total Chris. Chris.
Total Chris.
Damn.
Chris. Yeah, so...
I went with the obvious one because I just... Like, you said that, I'm like, shit, I didn't actually think of one.
Yeah.
So just... The obvious one.
That'd get you off to Mars.
I like the open your mind one because it was a 7-minute scene in the movie.
So
open your mind.
Yeah. And did we actually see what was in his mind?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, we saw the pyramid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, sorry.
So, yeah, so Total Recall starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sharon Stone, Michael Ironside. You know, good cast right there. For the 1990.
One of these things is not like the other.
Like, I'm trying to think, is there any other movie where Michael Ironside is, like, more in the movie?
Oh, Starship Troopers.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, but
he's just the teacher.
He's only in the first half of that movie, too.
No, he's not. He was the teacher in the beginning, but he also joined the mobile infantry, and he was.
Oh yeah,
captain.
That's right.
Yep, he had a fantastic death.
Yeah, but
okay, we'll talk about this next time. Start.
Okay.
There's
I can go hard deep into Starship Troopers.
Yeah. Does Splinter Cell count?
Not really.
No, okay. None whatsoever. No.
Although there's this movie, this other '80s action movie called Extreme Prejudice with. Like Powers Booth and I can't think of his name. Oh man, the dude with the awesome drunk picture. Oh fuck,
Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Anyway, that's like 20% the same movie as this. So.
Oh okay.
Except it's in Texas. And the guard from The Shawshank Redemption. But yeah, no, he's usually just playing the background beats. You'll know him as the, was he like the admiral in X-Men First Class?
Yeah.
He's another general in the Terminator Salvation movie, which I watched recently.
And most importantly, he's part of one of the greatest 4-part episodes of Walker, Texas Ranger of all time.
Right? It's the chairman, right?
Is what?
He's the chairman, right?
Yeah, he's the chairman.
Yeah.
And then it's, God, isn't the his henchman called Lazarus?
Yes.
Give you an idea of what happens with him.
Guess what? He comes back from the...
Oh, he was in Free Willy?
He's in Free Willy? Must be the bad guy, right?
Dial.
I don't know.
I forgot.
Is he the whale?
I forgot if he was a bad...
There's no way.
He was the owner. He was the owner of the amusement park.
So he was the bad guy.
Yeah.
I'm assuming because the end they let Free Willy go.
So long.
Same.
Just like this. Just like Total Recall. I haven't seen it in forever.
Free Willy is the kind of movie as a kid where like I think I saw the first one once and the sequels like 100 times.
Really?
But it's just you're a kid and you're dumb. Yeah.
I think Free Willy was the first. Awakening of how bad sequels can really be to me, because I think I watched the first 5 minutes of Free Willy 2 and just disregarded everything
else. See, mine was Land Before Time 2.
I didn't even know they made a second one until I was, I don't know, 20.
Yeah, because they turned them into musicals and because Disney took them over. Anyways, we're here to talk about Total Recall, Philip A. Dick?
K. Dick.
Philip K. Dick. Short story turned movie. Philip K. Dick, he also wrote the short story that became Blade Runner, which we've talked about in a lot on this podcast. In the pre-production for this, just letting you guys know, it was in pre-production for a long time. this movie actually had, they had the first two acts done and ready to go. They just had no idea how to finish it.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah. So,
and that shows up. And
boy, did it show.
So, yeah, and I guess like when Arnold was like just barely getting into movies, he read this script and he wanted to do it. And they were like, yeah, no, you're not a big enough name. Nobody knows who you are. Like, so they ended up signing Patrick Swayze on as the lead for this movie. But that went through. So the company that had the rights to it, they built the sets. They were ready to go. Then the company went bankrupt. And they had to tear everything down. And then I forget who picked it up. Who did this one?
Wait, hold on.
TriStar.
Yeah, hold that's on. Right. Yeah. So they picked it up,
Arnold,
the rights.
Arnold was a big name at this point.
In 1990, this movie went through pre-production hell. This, like, Arnold
so
read
it's been the, kicking around.
Before, yeah, before, it was kicked around. He read it when he was, like, Mr. Universe, and that's it.
Oh, because like, I was going to say, like, The Terminator came out.
Yeah, he read it before the Terminator, before okay. Conan the Barbarian. Like, he read it a long time ago, wanted to do it, but he wasn't a big enough name at the time. But yeah, so the only reason why I know that is because while I was waiting for my wife to come downstairs to watch this, I turned on the special features and just watched the making of this movie. which, if anybody has a chance to sit down, and if you've seen this movie and you want to watch it again, sit down and watch the special edition, because it has commentary from Arnold. And yeah, John, like the look on your face.
Well, I just bought it.
Good.
So, like,
there you go.
I hope that's the one. It's called, does it have a funny name? It's not actually the special edition. It's like the Open Your Mind edition or something
no,
like that.
No, I don't think so. But it might have, hopefully it has it, because his commentary in this is phenomenal.
I wonder what's the good one? Is it Batman Returns or whatever is or whatever that one is?
Batman and Robin?
Because there's one of him that's like super famous. Like it's like that Affleck fuck, I can't think of the name. What's the Michael Bay movie? The space
Transformers.
No,
Armageddon. Armageddon.
That's the commentary. Armageddon. That was in yeah. Apocalypse Now. It's like no. Yeah, no, I remember there being like going viral. I think it might be this one. Actually.
It is this one. This okay. one where he's like, the whole time he's sitting there, he's like, you know, in his Arnold voice, he's like, oh, he's a fucking thing. Oh,
it's like, then this guy blows up.
Yeah, it's like, it's so like like makes no sense, but he's like doing his Arnold gargles and like there's fucks flying everywhere. And like, it's almost like he just didn't give a shit when he was recording his audio.
There's this whole brand of like DVD commentary before like they understood what it even was.
Yeah,
where like guys are just going for it.
Yeah,
it's great.
Which
now you don't even really get them except for like the guys who like really want to do it.
Right. The greatest commentary ever, though, will always go to Tropic Thunder. It's the best because Robert Downey Jr. stays in character. That's honestly why, because he says in the movie. That he stays in character until the
movie.
Yeah, well, in the movie,
you have to watch this, like the special editions and all that
yeah.
stuff.
Well, most times you buy on DVDs or even Blu-ray, they have the commentary already. It was
true.
Like back when DVDs first started coming out, that's when you really didn't get those, like the commentaries. It was like you had to buy the special edition and then it would come with it. And it was usually like the director and the producer, and like I don't care about that.
Yeah, but the movie has to make me like it enough to actually buy a DVD or stream or whatever it is. This movie definitely did not do that.
Wow. Okay. We're hopping right into that.
I don't know why. I don't know why anybody chose this movie. Anybody said yes? I really don't.
Well, I think it's the 30th anniversary.
It is. Yeah, it came out 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Damn, it's almost as old as you.
I hate this movie. In every way.
Before we get to that, can we get some numbers?
Yes. Numbers for us? So this movie...
No, we start with that. So
this movie was actually number well, let me just make sure I'm accurate here. I don't want to be off by one.
And this is summer box office.
The so fifth Total Recall was the number five movie of the box office of 1990.
Yeah.
And granted, 1990 was not the best year for movies.
What was ahead of it?
Number four was Dances with Wolves.
All right. Which is a classic.
Taken actually won an Oscar.
Yep.
Dead Best Picture.
Yeah.
Number three was Pretty Woman.
Okay.
Number two was Home Alone.
Okay.
And number one was Ghost.
Wow. All right.
See, this is so wild. Yeah, I know. Isn't that like the first thing that strikes you, Sam, is like how different this is from now? Yeah.
Right?
Like,
I'll round off the top 10 just so you can realize how like out there this is. Number six, Back to the Future Part 3.
Okay.
Die Hard 2, Presumed Innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Is that a Harry Callahan movie? What's Presumed Innocent?
Stars Harrison Ford, Brian Dennehy.
Oh, R.I.P., man.
Paul Winfield.
That isn't super memorable.
No, this year was not super memorable. Well,
what are you talking about? You're like naming off so many classic movies.
There is, but it wasn't like a standout year for movies.
I don't know if I'd call any of those classics. Maybe.
Really?
Woman?
I think original TMNT is probably a classic.
Sam, when people watched Avatar, what did they compare that to?
Gone with the Wind.
They said it was Dances with Wolves, but with blue aliens. Like, the fact that you can reference that movie makes it a classic, because everyone knows what it is.
I couldn't tell you what it's about.
It's Avatar, but with Native Americans.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what Dances with Wolves was about. But let me just say this. The number 10 overall movie in 1990 was another Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Not The Running Man, right?
Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, God.
What the cookie? Oh, no, that's a different one.
We're going to play a game. Who's your daddy and what does he do?
That is with Sinbad, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that's not with Sinbad.
What was the one with Sinbad? Oh, that was Jingle All the Way. I'm sorry.
With Jake Lloyd.
Another classic.
Jake Lloyd and Phil Hartman.
So, yeah, numbers. I mean, this movie did $261 million on a... I don't think they'll have it. Oh, they do. $50 to $60 million budget.
All right.
So it's, now, I mean,
I've heard something about that, and it interests me. Apparently, at the time, this was the most expensive movie of all time.
Not including Heaven's... Was it Heaven's Gate? Heaven's Gate was the most expensive movie of all time. Especially now if you include inflation. Like, that movie cost so much money to make. And it was a bomb.
Well, I doubt that it, like, cost more than some modern movies, but...
With inflation.
Of the year, it looks like it's the highest budget so far. Back to the Future 3 was $40 million. Oh, no. Die Hard 2 was $62 to $70 million, so... That was the same year.
Still, there was a lot of money thrown at this movie. And where did that money go?
Let's just dive into it.
They have a lot of sets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The sets look great.
Let's dive into this.
All right.
So in pre-production, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to, you know, get a story together, get your cast together. You know, write to, you know, who's directing it and all this other stuff. Yeah, and get your location set and you say, this is where we film this. There's this thing called editing a script. You kind of want to do it maybe once or twice over, at least, before you shoot a movie. They clearly didn't do that. This is what I used to do in middle school. You write the paper on your typewriter, and then you just turn it in. You don't read it over. This is what happens when you do that. There was zero comprehensive items in that whole thing. And it's just... holistically, I don't know what happened in this movie.
Really? So let's go through Chris's boo-boos here. What didn't you like about the script?
If there ever was a movie to explain it, to have one of those opening, you know, words, like statements, like a scroll, Star Wars scroll.
Yeah.
If there ever was a movie that needed it, this was it.
I disagree.
Yeah, I don't agree. Yeah.
Completely disagree. Like,
podcast. I don't get it. It's a super generic world. I get it, but none of this was flushed out.
What are you talking? Like all of it was flushed out.
One-liners. No,
I know there were plenty of one-liners, but
this whole movie was one-liners, and you had to piece the plot together using the one-liners, and it didn't give you any meat on the bones whatsoever. It was just here's meat on the bone, here's meat, but it's not sticking to anything. And then in the end, it's just like when they get to Mars, it's all about. I still don't even know, because it's like people are upset that they discovered some artifact looking thing, but then there's this other guy who's trying to sell air, and then there's like these revolutionaries who are blowing shit up and stuff because of mining, but who knows what's going on? And it's not until the end of the
movie. I know what's going on.
You've seen the movie 6 times. You know exactly what's going on. If you go to once to the movie theater, you're not really going to know what the hell's going on until the end and be like, oh, there's an alien artifact over here that makes air.
Well, yeah, that's like the big reveal at the end.
No, I get it.
I'm going to back Chris up on this. While, like, I don't think it makes the movie like you can't follow the movie. You can definitely follow the movie.
It's not hard to follow.
Everything in this movie is, like, super underexplained.
Exactly.
There's some terrorists over there. Why are they fighting? Because it's terrorist stuff. You understand. And, like, you understand.
Yeah,
but you're just also sitting there, like, we're not going to get any, like, beat out of this?
No,
like,
nothing.
But, like, also, though, it's a big, dumb action movie. What do you really want?
Right. Like, do you want an extra 45 minutes so they can flush all this out? It's already a two-hour movie, which, honestly...
This is already incredibly long.
Yeah, for the run, it doesn't feel bad. Like, it doesn't feel long for a two-hour run. Like,
how long was the Blade Runner movie?
What? The Blade Runner movie? A lot longer. It was, like, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, but it was done by the same guy, no?
No.
Like, Blade...
No, it was written...
It's a short story. Yeah. I mean, no. Not really involved at all. So... I don't know. I think my biggest hang-up with the script is that, effectively, this movie is, like... Like, really, like, two-thirds of it is, like, people running.
Yeah.
Like, there's more running in this than the movie called The Running Man.
It's... Yeah. No, you're right.
And it's not... You know, you could say, okay, yeah, but, like, cat and mouse movies are, like, a thing. Like, I mean, The Fugitive works. The Fugitive's, like, pretty good. But, like, this just isn't that movie.
Yeah.
You know? It's, like, I don't really care about Arnold Schwarzenegger, really.
No.
But...
The acting was awful. Even for a 1990s movie, the acting was very sub. I mean, granted, it wasn't supposed to be. Well, I don't think they expected it to be number 5 of the year, but you know, at least nowadays, this would never pass muster.
It is weird though that this is like shot almost like a cheesy B movie.
Mm.
And yet, the budget was, like, astounding.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, whoever brought up that budget point, that's incredibly, like, where the fuck did they spend the money? Because, like, Arnold, like, probably cost something.
Yeah.
Like,
cost something and Sharon Stone cost something.
It was Sharon Stone probably cost.
Did Sharon Stone cost anything at that time?
Yeah,
Basic?
No, that...
But what
like,
was she in?
I can't tell you off the top of my head.
I'll pull it up. Hold on. All right.
I don't know how long she'd been around for at that point.
But I have a little tangent I want to go on on the director here.
Okay.
Paul Vanderhoeven. Dutch names, man. he directed three movies that all sort of connect with me on something, which is big, dumb sci-fi action movies that have weirdly underused yet deep subtext to them.
Yeah.
And that is RoboCop, Total Recall, yeah, and Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
Where you have, like, with RoboCop, you have this weird, like, undertone of it talking about, like, what does it mean to be human, and if, you know, if you're cybernetically enhanced, can you be human anymore? And yet, it's just a big, dumb action movie, and they never really go into that, but, and yet it's there. And you're just like, why is it there in this movie? In this one, you have, like, issues of memory, and do memory make the man, and all this, and but it's there, but it's a big, dumb action movie. And you're sitting there like, A, why is this here? And B, if it was just here, did they want to go that way? And lastly, with Starship Troopers, you have this, like almost a parody of, like a fascist utopia. And that kind of just, like, making fun of this world. But at the same time, it's just a big, dumb action movie, and they're not really going in that deep with it.
Hey, don't trash Starship Troopers.
Why, it's so easy to.
No, I know, it's so true. Still.
I love Starship Troopers.
He has an incredible, like, five-movie run here.
Yeah.
Where it's RoboCop, Total Recall, Basic Instinct, Showgirls, and Starship Troopers from 87 to 97.
Yeah.
That's, like, those are all so, like, very, like...
Spread out. Very spread out.
But, Sam, going with the theme of this movie...
Is that a Basic Instinct joke?
It could be.
But to go with the theme or the whole subplot to this movie, I want to know you guys your thoughts on it. Did this movie actually happen?
Yeah.
This movie actually happened. Yes. Yeah. They tease that, but it's like too big for this movie.
Right.
And they like chicken out, and they're just like, no, just it's real. It's real.
Yeah, but. You don't know if it's real or not, though. Like, and that's kind of like one of the things I really like about this movie is, like, at the end, you're like, that was totally real, but maybe it wasn't. Like, because it's supposed to feel as real as possible. That's how they sell the memory. It's as real as possible.
I don't know, man.
If this was told entirely from his perspective, I would agree with you, but we get the perspectives of other characters.
It's a movie.
Like, yeah, it does kind of fuck it up.
Yeah, but it's also a movie, so obviously they can do that because it's a movie. And once again, like you said,
it ruins that whole thing where it's like, now we're like, if all we're seeing is his memory, why does he have memories of other people?
Right.
Mm.
I think that's a valid point, Sam. You're right. This does do the thing where they kind of walk up to the line and are like, nah.
Yeah, you know? Like, it teases you, so you're like, oh, was there, like, an actual good movie here? Not just a big, dumb action movie?
Right. There's even that moment where, like, at the end, you know, Schwarzenegger's talking to Koenig, and he's like, this is, like, one mindfuck too many or something like that. And it's like... I don't know, it's just very on the nose that, like, somebody in a movie is referring to a mindfuck. That's usually how you describe a movie. You know? Like, it's like someone telling somebody they're very cinematic or something.
It's just... I find those three movies, like... There's just... I don't know why those subtexts are there. But they're there. Maybe it was just the source material or something.
Well, yeah.
And they just didn't.
Like, was RoboCop a source material or was that an original?
I do not know. Check.
That I don't know. But I know Starship Troopers was a book first. And I know this obviously was a Dick short story.
Yeah.
It looks like RoboCop written for the screen.
Yeah. Okay. So that was. All right. Yeah. But
also, it's just great because, like, there's, like, so many of the same people in all these, too.
Mm.
was Sharon Stone, and then you have what's his face?
Well, I guess Ironside was actually, I think it was Ironside, was picked originally to be RoboCop, but he backed out because of the, like, the size of the suit and the bulkiness and everything, and he was just like, no, I can't do this.
That'd be a very different movie with his voice in it.
Right?
Like, I can't imagine him nailing that, like, robotic voice, because his voice is just too gravelly for that.
Yeah. It's such a deep, I mean, it's a smoker's voice, because, I mean,
yeah.
But, you know, I guess one of the things I heard about this movie was, while working on it, Michael Ironside's sister survived cancer, and Ironside actually survived cancer twice now. But she was going through chemo or whatever at the time, and in between takes, he was on the phone with her, and Arnold was like, "Hey, what's going on?" And he was like, "Oh, my sister, you know." And so I guess they had a three-way phone call, and like, for like 2 hours or something like that, and like, now they're like not good friends, but like they connected strong through that and everything, and like Ironside and his sister have nothing but like praise to give to Arnold. It's just like random.
Just why not? Back in the day when you're up and coming, you know, it's, you know, you don't have that reputation to try and just,
well,
hit it and go.
Arnold, like, wasn't really.
Can you imagine,
Arnold,
can you imagine,
was famous at the time, so.
No, in pre-production when they were filming.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, he was. He did Conan. Yeah, he did the Terminator. He did.
You just told me.
No. When the script was going around. This was like 10 years before pre-production. The script was going around. This was like the late 70s. It takes a long time to make a movie.
In so many random things.
Who is? Ironside. Yeah.
Like, another thing I noticed, like, when I was rewatching this movie, is this movie feels very awkward. Like, the acting feels awkward.
That's an understatement.
The fact it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing to gripe on, but like, there's a lot of moments with the swearing in this movie where it just feels awkward why these characters are swearing,
like,
right,
forced
now.
Swearing,
yeah
forced swearing.
It's
the violence
swearing
at times feels awkward, where it's like almost like comically violent, and you're like, are they doing that on purpose? Or because, like, I remember, like, there's the moment where the whole get your ass to Mars moment where he's able to run away, and the bad guys are there, and they get Michael Ironside gets angry, so he shoots the rat, and apparently the rat was nothing but blood inside there.
Well, yeah,
and it was also like blood jam too, because of this weird consistency.
Sam, it immediately coagulated. The blood immediately coagulated.
But it's just like, okay, rats don't have that much blood in them.
But it exploded.
And it didn't look like real blood, and.
You're right. It's almost too comical. Because remember when he was running away, he ran into the old lady trying to get the briefcase.
Oh, yeah.
And then she said, like, F you. And then he turned around and did some, like, namaste pose or something.
Oh, yeah.
He bowed to him. The turban.
He bowed to him.
Like,
yeah.
What are you doing?
Unnecessary.
I really enjoy, since we brought it up, I feel like it's not really an Arnold movie if he's not ripping out of something out of the hands of an old woman. Like, and I don't know if it's just that he does it in Jingle All the Way and this, and if that's even a reference to this movie.
Really?
But it just seems like so many movies he's like ripping stuff out of like old women's hands, like getting into like
one reference for you.
Yeah, I guess it's like a one-time thing.
It has to be. I can't think of Terminator 2.
I've just seen Jingle All the Way too many times. Oh well.
There's also that moment where during the initial chase scene where he's on the escalator and a guy in front of him gets shot.
And he uses
his
shield.
As a body shield. And it's just like,
yeah,
it's going. And the guy's just getting shot. He's already dead.
Yeah, and it doesn't really work.
Like that. It's just like,
I know it's an action scene and I know it's an action movie, but it really is such a boring action scene. that whole first chase. It just boring in the sense of the way it's kind of. I know it's they're running and people are shooting and stuff, but there's no real like chaos around, you know?
No, Chris, I couldn't put my finger on it, but you're absolutely right. There is like no. Like, it's just like, we're going to shoot people, and they're going to, like, bleed and, like, pop all over the place.
Yeah, but like, there's no, like, shattered glass, or there's no, like, people
talking in the background. There's no excitement or intensity. Yeah.
And, it's I mean, not, that's consistent throughout, but I feel like with all the other action movies of that time period, there's at least, like, background motion. Somebody's shooting in a plaza. People are still not riding the escalator down. I mean, the guy got shot at least 50 times on the escalator, which, you know, whatever. But, like, people wouldn't be getting back on the escalator or standing in line behind him to get on the escalator. No, it's just not going to happen. People are going to be running and hiding and ducking, not standing there, not reacting.
Yeah, there is another weird, unexpected choice. Like, when they go into the brothel after they shelter Schwarzenegger and his band of compatriots, and, like... Ironside just like kill them all, and you're like, what? Like, and then it's like, obviously this isn't gonna work. There's like 100 people in here. Like, what the fuck are you doing? This movie is full of bizarre choices to me, which honestly almost just makes it, you know, and like I think this is just kind of like a Verhoeven thing or whatever. I'm not like a huge, I mean, like RoboCop's okay. I've never seen Starship Troopers, though. I feel like it's a lot like this movie. I'm just going on a limb, but
it's a little bit more put together, I think.
Yeah, no, but it's there's not. Just a sense of like,
there's no plot to Starship. It just ends.
It's a wartime movie.
It just ends. There's no ending.
But like,
it's a wartime movie.
Overall, though, there's just this like, fuck it, we'll do it weird, like mentality.
Mm.
Like, everything is just, like, turned up to, like, 12. Like, you know, Quato and everything, and, like, all the, like, the mutants, and then, like, your buddy who, like, betrays you has, like a fake arm or whatever, and it's just incredible.
So, by the way, one of the mutants, the guy with the half face, anybody recognize him?
Shield. Not in the Shield, he's in the...
It's Dean Breaking Norris Bad. From Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad, yeah.
Oh, that's who he is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I thought he was the guy from Aliens, the commander, but...
No.
Nope.
He's got a lot of makeup on.
Yeah.
That's why, okay, because I was looking, because I saw Dean Norris in the thing, I was like, wait, who?
It was the voice that got me.
Yeah. His character's name is Tony. And they say it a lot, too. They're like, Tony, thanks, Tony.
Yeah, there's a lot of... He's literally like a minute and a half of screen time. But they say his name at, what, 50, 60 times?
Yeah, a lot.
But there's also just this another weird scene when he first gets to Mars and he decides to take the cab. And while getting in the cab, we have, like, a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
Like the driver's just like, yeah, that happens. Let's get in the car so we don't get shot too.
Let's get out of here, man.
Like, just but there's a war going on. Like,
right. It's and I love how he's staying at like the Ritz or something. And there's like bombs going off outside. I think this movie was meant to be a comedy.
Yeah, I can't take this movie seriously. Like, it's so. I mean, it's a campy movie. Like, there's no, like, you can't, I don't know. Like, it's, you're not supposed to take it seriously,
this,
right?
This is, like, like, one step above turn your brain off and watch a stupid action movie.
No, this is turn your brain off and watch a stupid action movie.
Yeah, but then what is going to happen is what happened to you, Chris, where you were confused the whole time because you didn't actually, like, you couldn't comprehend because your brain was off.
So you need to run your brain at, like, 10% capacity?
Yeah, just to understand, like, certain plot points of what's going on. And even then, you're kind of like, what? That happened? But, like, you're not, like, overanalyzing.
I've seen this movie, like, 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
I know what's going
on. There's tons of twists and turns in this movie. Wait, do you know what's going on or do you not? Because now you're flip-flopping. You said you had, there's like no comprehension. There's nothing going on.
I'm talking about this as you're watching this movie. Yeah. Not as you've seen it. Like,
oh, well,
four times.
Yeah, there's twists and turns throughout the entire movie that like, you know, there's bombshells where it's like.
The twist of the wife being fake. That, you know, that was...
Well, I mean, there was the twist of the wife being fake. There was the twist that he had already been to, actually already been to Mars, and he was a secret agent working for the mutants. And then there was the twist
was
where
kind
he,
of the same twist. So.
But then, and then there was the twist that he was actually working for, was it Copenhagen, to try to infiltrate the mutants.
You, was that real?
What?
Yeah,
that was real.
That
so
happened.
I'm wondering twist.
So he actually, okay, so that was actually the thing, that he was actually working for Cohagen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he worked for Cohagen, had his memory wiped, so he wouldn't know what was going on, and then worked for the mutants, and then when he was caught, quote-unquote, he had his memory wiped again, and because they needed to get to, was it Klaatu or Klaatu or whatever? So he Quato. Needed, yeah, Quato. He needed a completely blank memory to get close to him, or else them being precogs, because they mentioned that quite a few times in the movie, them being precogs, they could tell who you were and your your future and everything, so they knew that he would be working for Copenhagen.
Gotcha.
It almost makes you feel like your brain shouldn't be working this hard for this type of movie.
No, I agree. That I agree with.
That's what I was getting at earlier, where you have that exact thing Sean just told, where it's this weird subplot about, like, do memories make a person, or is there something more inherent in a person, and why is this in this movie?
Yeah, the twist that he was actually working for Cohagen is one of, like, the most useless twists, like, in movie history.
It really was. Because it didn't... I mean, the end result didn't really change anything.
Can, so do you guys want to play a game?
Well, really quick, I wanted to say, because I brought up what these mutants were, they were precogs, that leads us into the fact that there is a sequel/prequel, I guess, to this movie that I teased earlier. Sam knows what it is as well. It's another sci-fi action movie.
Have we seen this?
You probably have. It's called Minority Report.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that Philip K. Dick too?
Yep.
Yeah.
God. Another reason I don't like that movie.
So the precogs in that movie, they turn them into precogs rather than having them mutants, and they basically cut out all of Mars.
See, I don't like Minority Report either.
Which, that's another twists and turns kind of movie.
Yeah, definitely.
I prefer Total Recall over Minority Report.
I wonder if I simply just don't like this guy's work.
That, you mean Philip K. Dick? Probably, because you hate Blade Runner.
Questions are a little too big there. But to be fair, they're all adapted short stories.
Right.
Yeah. Short stories are very wide.
Like, I would say, too...
Results.
Blade Runner, this movie, and Minority Report are, like, three extremely different versions of, like, what you can make a sci-fi movie to be. Like, Blade Runner is very, like, artsy, cerebral. This is, like, a campy action movie. And Minority Report is, like, a big, like, blockbuster movie. Like, wide audience, you know, wide appeal.
By the way, the short story this one's based off of is We Can Remember It For You Wholesale.
Yeah.
So, just...
Sam, do you know what the Blade Runner one is called?
It's Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yep.
I love the titles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he did Paycheck.
He did The Man in the High Castle as well.
Next, I have not seen that.
It's one of those it's one of those shows where it's like, Bezos must just love this, because, like, this must, like, not be cheap, and, like, I've never heard of anybody watching more than that.
Did Next? The Next movie is based off of his work.
Next?
Yeah, with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, God, really?
The Adjustment Bureau.
Can I just, like, for a second, talk about Man in High Castle? This is going to be way off, but...
It has something to do with this movie, so go ahead.
I can go for it.
I've never watched an episode of this movie. I don't know, the show. I don't know if you guys have.
No,
I have.
But I saw a trailer for the new season. Where the fuck is this show going? Because wasn't this just like an alternate
history?
Yeah,
it's the final season.
It was the final season. Yeah,
it's like an alternate history / sci-fi. Because it's like essentially, what happens if Germany and Japan win the war? But then there's also this thing of like, oh, but actually the Allies won, and like maybe this is not what it seems, or there's an alternate reality, or something like that.
No, it's some broader
sci-fi context.
The new, I saw the trailer for the new season. The Nazis are able to cross into our reality, realize our reality, like we won, and I forget what the Nazis' plan really is, but it's like, I think they're going to try to conquer our reality or something. And I was just like, wait, when did this show become this? When did this become alternate realities? And
it became Fringe.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's on the first episode. I don't know how much it gets flushed out, but yeah. There was another one when I was talking about pilot fatigue. Like, that's like almost dead on, you know? Okay. You guys want to play a game?
Sure. Let's do one.
Yeah. Okay. So here's a game. I'm calling this, yes, we've colonized Mars, but. yes, we've colonized Mars, but our guns are pretty much exactly the same. And if you guys have any, feel free to jump in. I'll do a couple I got written down here. Yes, we've colonized Mars, but the Pepsi logo is exactly the same.
And the Coca-Cola, and the Fujifilm, and Toshiba.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yes, we've colonized Mars, but we still have landlines.
Yeah.
That's right. But they're video phones.
Like, yes, we've colonized Mars, but for some reason we have to have that weird animatronic guy in the cab.
The Johnny cab?
Yes, we colonized Mars, but we still need the manual override button to seal off the exits when windows blow.
Yeah.
I was watching that. I was sitting down there. I forget what I was doing. I was maybe typing something else.
No, Chris, here's another one. Yes, we colonized Mars, but that button, for some reason, closes all the doors.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's no option. All right, how about, yes, we've colonized Mars, but construction sites look exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yes, we've colonized Mars, but we're still using jackhammers.
Right.
We colonized Mars, but we...
like JB tractors and stuff like that.
Yes, we colonized Mars, but we still need to declare fruits and vegetables at customs.
Yes, we've colonized Mars, but we have the most needlessly complicated disguise technology ever.
That also blows up, Sam. That also blows up.
It also blows up for some reason.
So I think piggybacking off of that, I really enjoy, you know, and maybe it's just because Arnold did so many of these, like it feels like, you know, I mentioned Running Man earlier, and that feels like exactly the same as this. Like, there's the whole, you know, TV element of it, and, you know, they're like gladiators. Which, by the way, whenever you guys want to do that one, I'm down. But
I've actually never seen it, so
it's so good, dude. And Richard Dawson is the bad guy.
Wait, what movie is this?
The Running Man.
Oh.
But do you like the tacky's 80s future?
Oh, no. I love it.
Aesthetically, no. It looks like.
It looks so bad.
Oh, it looks horrible, but no, I loved how in the late 80s, early 90s, they were like, what's going to be the future? Well, it's going to be the 80s, obviously. The 80s aren't going to stop.
Like,
so,
in fairness, a lot of sci-fi movies are like that, yeah. But like, a lot of like sci-fi movies and stories, they at least will make things look a little better. It'll still be like, you know,
don't even give me that. Don't even give me that. If the I come up with ideas that you think are so far-fetched that you will be in the future. You don't need to make it look like people are still using fossil fuels in the future.
It sucks to bring up, but in 2001, they used tablets.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was made what? 40 years. How long did they?
19. Yeah, it was 19. Yeah. It was before
68, I believe, was when it came out, or 67.
So back when computers were like the size of a massive room, Kubrick was like, "No, we're going to be using tablets in the future." In 2001, he wasn't far off.
And I don't think they did this in the original, but the 2012 remake, they had like the phone embedded in your hand.
Yeah.
And then you can just put it on glass and it'll show like a screen. I mean, it's not crazy, but it's just come up with stuff. 1980s, like they couldn't really, this movie in particular, they couldn't really come up with things that were just...
Oh, no, trust me. It wasn't just this movie. It was the 80s.
No, I agree. But come up with something. I mean...
Like there's TVs on the subway, but they're just actual TVs on the subway.
Yep.
Like it's not really any advancement. Oh, and by the way, I love the recall commercial. Like the guy's voice, like
and how it's got that little jingle at the end,
right? Oh God, it's so delicious.
it's just so odd that like Star Trek is out, Star Wars was out, and they still can't come up with future stuff on their own,
right? Like there's it's like, hey, it's the future. He has a bigger TV.
Yeah,
right. And you're still stamping passports.
Oh, no, here's my favorite. Yes, they have a TV, but did you notice the aspect ratio was 4:3?
Yeah. Well, then she put on the nature suit.
Right, so. And then it was the whole, but that was the whole wall. But while they were watching the news, it was 4:3 ratio.
And you still
This is incredibly nitpicky, but when he's using the immersion blender, it looks exactly like an immersion blender. Like there's nothing. I don't know.
No, nothing at all. The biggest advancement would be the digital tennis lesson that Sharon Stone was getting.
Yeah.
Right. Like that was probably the biggest advancement in that apartment, at least. From
that 1980. Whole scene, man, like when he wakes up next to Sharon Stone, like...
No, who does that? Nobody does that. Nobody does that.
What?
You are my dream. Or whatever. Oh, what the hell is his line? It's like, you're the woman of my dreams. Like, nobody says that. My wife would say... Yeah, but you're dreaming about somebody else, you know? Nobody would say, just come dream about me, or whatever. I forget what she said. She did something. She took her clothes off and lied down or something like that. But if you ever woke up and said, I had a dream and it was about another lady, what do you think your wife would say?
But, like, another thing was, like, the architecture in this, where how it's all just cement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They don't even like go with that like smooth metallic super futuristic architecture you see in some of these movies.
It's a poor insulator.
Like just everything looks like they like recently built construction site, because it probably was. But
what were the rockets like, coal fired? Like what the fuck? What did you guys think of the score? Because it's Jerry Goldsmith who's like, you know, not John Williams, but like he's pretty well renowned. And like the score just does not fit the movie. Not that I think he did like a shitty job, but like, I don't know. Like, doesn't it seem like this should be like some like electric synth shit? Not like, you know.
Yeah.
So when I watched this movie again, I watched the opening credits and I don't know if I've ever seen them. And when I initially listened to it, it sounded exactly like the opening of Terminator 2. With the slow open, you know, zoom out. It was very 1980s. But I thought Terminator 2.
T2.
Terminator 2 came after.
Yes, by a few years. So
I don't know. I didn't like the score. Honestly, I didn't even notice the score.
Yeah. It's like a generic action movie score. It's just kind of in the background and like, oh, it's loud now. Oh, this is an action sequence. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's some good songs in there, but like for the most part, it's just a bland score.
I guess it just seemed oddly. No, you're right. It's not it's not actually like interesting, but it's just oddly sort of orchestral for something that's otherwise. Like, when have you had an action movie that's got like this, like, you know, like swooning, you know, score? Like, I don't know, you just don't really see it.
Yeah. Like, you think that the score would have been better if it was like a synth, like, or futurism kind of music, kind of like Blade Runner, almost?
Yeah. Like that Vangelis soundtrack for Blade Runner is like, I mean, it sets a tone and it's like very much its own thing. But,
right.
Yeah, I guess you think it'd be something more like that, or like a Hans Zimmer kind of, you know, what's the word? Not mechanical. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But here's another thing. It's a weird thing to harp on, and yes, it is a nitpick, but Mars does have an atmosphere.
Yes.
Like, they kept kind of like knocking me out of this movie when every time they're like, but the vacuum, and I'm just like, Mars has an atmosphere. Like, yeah, it's not an oxygen atmosphere like ours.
Would you be sucked out?
No.
I don't think so, right? No. You just kind of implode.
No, yeah, but Sam, you wouldn't get that awesome, like, scene of, like, the eyes bucking.
Like, yeah, you suffocate, but, like, that's only because you can't really breathe the air.
I don't know what was more annoying in this movie. The fact that they had more head, like, plastic heads made of Arnold Schwarzenegger than they did actual good acting scenes.
They all look terrible, too.
All I know. I know.
All of that, like, practical stuff look terrible. Like, I don't know why they were in there. And this is 1980, too. This is not
1990.
Yeah.
This is not, like, you know, 40 years ago. This is only 30 years ago.
I know. You can just go back in, like, a year, and you can find better graphics in some of the movies.
Go to, like, the movie we reviewed a couple weeks ago, Aliens.
Yeah.
Aliens
are
better than that.
Sam. Oh, yeah. Two
Indiana
words.
Jones and the Last Crusade. Dan
Winston.
I mean, that must have had a huge budget too, but you're right. It does seemingly look better, even though I think we all agree Aliens doesn't exactly look incredible either.
No.
No, but the sets look phenomenal.
The sets are a lot smaller, I think, though, on Aliens.
Yeah. But with Aliens you had Stan Winston, but you also had H.R. Geiger or Giger or however you say it, the guy who designed the set, like the German artist who basically created the alien. Like you had him working on all the sets as well. So you continued that artistic style into it. Like this, when it came to the sets and everything, there was no artistic style. It was that, like I said earlier, it was that the 80s are never going to end. So it, you know, it's going to be set in the future, but it's still the 80s because movies back then, for some reason, thought that the 80s were never going to end. I mean, you got this movie, like Demolition Man is kind of the same thing. The Judge Dredd, the Stallone movie, like, it's the 80s.
Yeah. I'm not expecting much from a Judge Dredd movie, though. Or a Sly movie, for that matter.
But I'm just like...
Come on,
I did finally watch Rainbow Last Blood, and...
Oh, why did you do that? Let me tell you,
that is a...
Why would you do that?
Storyless movie.
Yeah. I've heard nothing good. But, yeah, so... But, I mean, that was the kind of, like, idea back then for those action movies, is just the 80s were going to continue. I mean, even RoboCop. RoboCop takes place in the future, but it's still the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, the costume design was just very 80s style, heavy. You know?
I think to some extent, 95% of all sci-fi movies are very, like, representative of the time they're made. Like, stuff that's made in the 60s is very, like, much the same. Like, I remember reading, like, an Asimov book. Like, I think it's, like, one of the Foundation ones. And it's talking about the guy using a tobacco pouch. And it's like, you know, that's just sort of... I don't think it's, like, specific to the 80s. I think just every sort of generation has their own one. And this is a weird, you know... 80s, 90s amalgamation. That's just very
in 60 years, you're going to say people are going to say the same thing about movies being made now.
Yeah, like you're going to be able to pull out, you know, the same sort of like sleek modernist, you know, and this, I'm just pulling this out of my ass, but stuff that, you know, we kind of value now, it's just not the same. And actually, I'll tell you the same thing. Go fucking watch, Jesus Christ. Go watch Bicentennial Man.
Oh God. Oh God.
Are you really selling up to go watch that movie again?
Well, not really, but like if you saw the future, the like late 90s future, it's really dumb. Like, you know, they're all dumb, but it's specific to the time. I don't know. It's much more a reflection on the time it's made than the actual future it's trying to depict.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say this. Boy, does the 80s stand out.
Yeah.
Like a sore fucking thumb.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of those movies made back then, though.
Yeah.
A lot of it. A lot of them.
Because, like, aesthetically, every sort of decade kind of has something that's, like, nice about it.
Yeah.
But, like, the 80s, not really.
No. The style was horrible. Though, the hair was bad. You know.
Do you think we're 80s'd out right now?
What do you mean?
Do you think we're 80s'd out? Because there has been a lot of, like, throwbacks to the 80s. All of Stranger Things. And there's a bunch of other movies like that took place in the 80s because they wanted to capitalize on that. Anyway, let's stop talking about the 80s and let's move on to the remake.
Our transition.
Has everybody seen the remake?
Yes, I was very excited to go see it in theaters in 2012.
I think I saw it in theaters with you, Sean.
And John, I believe, went too. And that was the last time I saw this movie.
Yes. Yeah. I watched it again today.
I feel like you love this movie, Chris.
Let's do
it's,
this.
It's got your famous let's, husband let's and wife quick. Director and actress in it. So I mean,
let's do this critically here. In every way, literally every single way that I can think of and value movies as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
It is better than the original.
Which is strange because you're pretty much alone in that category worldwide.
Sure. Whatever. Hated the original. It just, everything was better. Just the script actually ran through a editing machine, or somebody looked at it and said, oh, this actually flows. We should probably stick with this. Let's get rid of these one-liners here, and let's have actors actually have some form of chemistry together.
Where was the chemistry?
Yeah, where there was chemistry.
Oh, I think the fact that there was no weird pause breaks in between actors and actresses saying lines just created more chemistry than what the original movie had.
See, I saw more chemistry between like Sharon Stone and Arnold Schwarzenegger, or hell, really? I'll go Sharon
what
Stone
saw,
and
what I
Michael
saw
Ironside.
What I saw was Arnold Schwarzenegger asking for line before every film, every cut, and then
here's the thing about this remake. Is they took all of that campiness and that like weird, the weird awkwardness, like as I described it, of Total Recall, and they got rid of all of that. And what you realize, that was all the stuff that made the movie entertaining.
Yes,
yeah, there's
I
really
agree.
Nothing here.
No, I'm not. Don't get me wrong. It's still not a good movie. It's still not a good movie.
Total Recall 1990 is considered a classic. This movie is just shouldn't exist.
I can't disagree with you more.
There is a sin worse than being bad, and that's being bland.
Yeah.
And this movie,
forgettable.
Yeah.
Is so bland.
It's like I can't.
The problem is you're trying to, when you make a remake, you're trying to build off of the original, maybe in a movie like this, it's, oh, let's go back to the source material because the original strayed from the source material. Let's go with that. This movie was like, no, we just want to make like a borderline Michael Bay kind of like action movie, but like at least Michael Bay has heart in there. This movie just didn't have anything. There was like no heart. There was no chemistry.
Let me tell you, it actually had some action scenes that actually made it somewhat suspenseful comparatively
like what?
To the original movie.
Like the not car chase?
No, the first chase scene in the beginning when they're running through like the favelas of Australia or whatever they are. It just actually made you seem a little bit like, oh, he's let's get going here.
Really? Because I don't remember.
I remember what you're talking
about,
Chris.
It's when he first gets home and she tries to kill him. It's,
yeah, no, I know what you're talking about, Chris, but you're wrong.
It's not true at all.
It is, unfortunately. Like, this movie should not have been made. Like, it didn't expand on...
I'm not, like, trying to say this movie is a masterpiece and needs to,
but you said it was better than Total Recall.
Oh, God, without a doubt. Jesus Christ, this thing was better. You could have substituted any modern-day actor and actress in those roles, and everything just would have flowed better.
But it lost everything.
It lost the campiness, is what you guys are trying
to
say.
Imagine if they redid Commando, but like did it seriously.
Yeah, it's like
that would be a bad movie. But Commando is a great, like a classic '80s action movie. Like,
I'm not saying that it's a classic '80s action movie. Am I saying Commando is good? Absolutely not. But it's not something that I will hang my hat on and say this is a classic to me, and it should never have been remade.
No, I'm honestly not saying they should never remade.
No, yeah, same.
It's just like this was such a blatant money grab.
Oh yeah, well, it wasn't just a money grab, but like this was the height of the beginning of Bryan Cranston's like fame too. So they were like, Bryan Cranston's in this movie. Let's build up the fact that Bryan Cranston is in this movie. He doesn't show up for 90 minutes.
Right. Bryan Cranston has a habit of being like talked up and then barely being in movies.
Yeah.
It's not the only actor and actress.
I mean, it's a Colin Farrell, Kate Beckinsale movie way more than Bryan Cranston, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing with the remake is there's just no take to the remake. Like, there's no, like, you know...
twist to it?
God, I was going to use a French word. I'm not going to do that. but it doesn't have a reason for being. You know? Like, there's no point to it.
Yeah, it's like, but we got rid of Mars. And are the precogs in this movie?
No.
It really made, like... a Blade Runner version of this movie.
Better graphics.
But we had Blade Runner already.
And also introduced the unnecessary concept of somehow building a train through the Earth.
Yes.
Rather than just around.
As I mean, just aliens building a reactor in the crust of Mars is, you know, not far-fetched.
Well, at least
makes more sense.
Yeah,
I mean, this doesn't. I mean, aside from looking at it scientifically, sure, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense. Didn't they say? I was reading somewhere that like, the thing wouldn't stick out in Britain; it would stick out somewhere else.
They got the points wrong in the movie. Even like,
yeah, whatever. It's a fucking movie.
It's a Len Wiseman movie too, which like doesn't help.
Which
it.
You're not gonna get like.
By the way, to let you know, he did the Underworld movies that Chris absolutely loves.
One of my favorite franchises.
No.
And that is literally for only one reason.
So you're a huge fan of that, like, Rise of the Lycanthropes or whatever the fuck that one was called.
Was that Rona Mitra?
Lycans. Lycans. Yeah, I mean, it was Rise of the Lycans. You went too hard on that word. You gave it too many letters.
You went too deep into the lore.
Go simple, Sam. Lycan.
But like, you know,
frankly, she's not even attractive.
John, you shut your mouth. You shut your mouth. John's voted off the podcast.
You know, there's a Skype feature here. We can kick someone out of the room.
John, isn't it fun to just like trigger Chris? Like, there's something fun about just triggering Chris.
Yeah.
It's only very specific. No, it's not specific things. It's a lot of things. But still. It's really late at night. Tired. You're not allowed to bash Kate Beckinsale. It's a rude podcast.
Either way.
Desert Island, though. Harry Potter franchise or Underworld? Which what's getting to the Desert Island?
Harry Potter.
Okay, fair enough.
That's not going away. I don't think that one's going away for a while.
All right. Any other thoughts on the remake?
What thoughts can you have on this movie?
What's his face was in it?
Bill Nye? It's Nye, like the science guy.
Yeah,
he was in it. That was...
But not the one you think it is. Bill Nye.
Was in it?
Not the science guy. The guy who was also in the Underworld movies.
What guy?
And he was in Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, Bill Nye, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But John Cho and Will Yun Lee was also in that, which... He's been in like so many things that I'm like, oh yeah, that guy.
Who, John Cho?
No, Will Yun Lee.
Isn't he in?
He's Kovach in Altered Carbon.
Altered Carbon, right?
Yeah, he's Kovach.
See, yeah, I also rewatched American Pie 2 the other day. I didn't rewatch it; I had it on.
Right.
It's classic, dude. Those are classic movies. I can't.
They did not age well, though.
Those are one of those movies that are like generational movies where it's if you're not of that generation, like it's not gonna hit the same.
And I never got into those movies, so it does nothing for me.
I think me and you were right on the cusp of that like group, and I fell into it, and you didn't. So
yeah, I guess.
Can I go back to the original Total Recall for a second?
Go ahead.
I love. It happens multiple times, like just how casually people get shot. Like Michael Ironside shooting the three-breasted space hooker.
Yeah,
and like when Arnold just shoots the recall guy who's like giving him the pitch that he's like in the dream or whatever or in his head. Yeah. He's got some great moments.
Yeah.
Otherwise, man, this move the remake just. Totally unremarkable. I mean, I forget Jessica Biel's in it.
Yeah. Like, it's not a good movie at all. And I remember, like, going to see it being like, oh, it's like, it seems more faithful to the book, like, to the short story. Like, it's got a good cast. Like, I should have looked at the director.
Were you just assuming that it was more faithful, or that was actually... Like,
well, because they said it was supposed to be more faithful because there was no Mars in the story, but in this one they just cut out Mars. Well, no, he doesn't actually go to Mars
go to Mars.
But he wants to remember going to Mars, and then it turns out he actually was at Mars and stuff happened.
There is an insane amount of writers credited on the sequel.
Yeah.
Granted, like, half of them are just people that wrote the screenplay or story to the original, but, like, there's, like, 12 writers on here.
Jeez.
Which is just, like, unheard of.
That shows that it's got to be a good movie.
And Philip K. Dick is not one of them.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It seems like it.
Can we get to our questions for the original?
Yeah, go ahead.
Has this movie made to you specifically? Pass. I hated this movie.
I liked it.
Pass.
I really enjoy this movie, and if you told me to like tomorrow, hey, let's watch Total Recall, yeah, I'm 100% down to watch it again.
I'll say something, actually. Get like big budget movies that are weird like this anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really. Like they come around every so often, but like you just really don't see this that much.
Yeah, this is a movie that leaves a taste in your mouth.
Is it a good taste or a bad taste, Sam?
It runs the gamut. Like, everyone who watches this movie comes out with a taste in their mouth. You either are like, wow, that was just crazy and fun, or wow, that was terrible.
Because I know... Was it the Metascore on this is not very good, but the Rotten Tomatoes score is actually very high.
It's a cult following right now.
Not really. It does not fall into a cult following Trust me.
It's then why is there such the difference between the two?
Because, I mean, you see that from time to time.
I honestly think what it probably is, a lot of critics gave this okay reviews,
yeah,
not glowing. So that, because Rotten Tomatoes is just a thumbs up, thumbs down.
Right.
So they probably just barely got a thumbs up, whereas Metacritic actually gives the score for each review. So you probably end up with, yeah, a high thumbs up because everyone just barely gave it a thumbs up.
The fan score on IMDb is a 7.5 out of 10. So it's a solid C. So
good, not great.
Yeah.
Or even just on the cusp of good. Yeah, whatever.
It's a 57 Metacritic, by the way.
Collectively, what about this movie withstands the test of time?
It's just
probably the face gagging scene.
Get your ass to Mars.
Oh yeah, it's the get your ass to Mars. And you know what does? What definitely helps though is if you have 3.5 minutes to waste on YouTube. There's a phenomenal Total Recall the musical.
John, let's be honest. That isn't even the best YouTube video of the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, it isn't. Yeah.
Musicals. It's Predator.
Yeah. If it bleeds, we could kill it. yeah, no, like it's such a fun like rabbit hole to fall down at the Arnold Schwarzenegger, the musical. Commando's great. Conan is amazing. Oh man. Yeah. But yeah, the Total Recall, the musical is just phenomenal. I love that one.
Next up, what movie change, if anything? We've kind of discussed it.
Yeah, we've definitely discussed it. Don't
I would either change a lot or nothing. I don't know.
So this is one of the exceptions we had. The last question was, is this an untouchable act? Clearly it wasn't, but
no. I will stand by, I love this movie, but if I mean it happened in 2012. If you tell me, oh, we're remaking this movie, cool. But well, hopefully you give me something to it.
I'll give you this. I don't think this movie should be remade. Not because it's a classic or like you just shouldn't touch it. It's just so perfect. It's just, I don't know if you can recapture what the original got with the campiness and the stupidness and just the fact that it's Arnold Schwarzenegger really brings this movie together. Because he's terrible at acting.
Yeah.
And it's just every time he makes any kind of exertion noise, it's hilarious. Because it's always.
His Arnoldness carried over in the fact that every single movie he's in, he never has to reload his gun.
Yeah. There's another great YouTube video where it's all Arnold Schwarzenegger grunts through the years. I think it's like 12 minutes long.
Yeah, and like half of them are this.
Yeah, it's like this and Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, that's it for the questions.
All right. Any final thoughts?
Nope. Wrap it up.
None from you guys. I mean, Chris was the only one who said no.
I got nothing left. So.
All right. I guess we'll just. We'll just let the music play us out. If you like our podcast, you can find us on Stitcher, iTunes. I believe we're on Google Podcasts now, by the way. Obviously Podbean. And until next time.
Bye.
Later.
Open your mind.
Open your mind. Open your mind for the 17th time.
Open your mind.
5 minutes go by.
Open your mind. Open your mind.
Rolling credits.
Open your mind.
Feeling
oh, shit. I'm dead.
But open your mind.